In the 1970s, a future, top-notch podcasting team was born, and then raised on military bases because their dads were in the Air Force. These Gen Xers eventually grew up and were unleashed upon the world. Today, looking forward to retirement, they survive by dishing out their opinions. If you have questions that need answers and an open mind, if you can spare 60 minutes a week, and if you have internet access, maybe you can listen to Kenyatta and Jack Save the World.
"There must be some kind of way out of here," said the Joker to the thief. "There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief." Listening, friends, it's the state of the world today, and they had it right. Ooh, how many years ago was that? 50 years ago?
Yeah.
60 years ago. That was the opening verse of a song called "All Along the Watchtower," written by Bob Dylan and originally performed by him on a 1967 album.
And a song that has been covered. We could have put that on our previous episode.
I thought about including this one because I absolutely love Jimi Hendrix's cover, because Jimi Hendrix completely flipped it and shook it and threw it out the window. And it's a beautiful, beautiful cover. So, listening, friends, if you're familiar with the song, you probably are. You hear the lyrics and you have no idea that that's the title, but there it is. There's some beautiful covers out. What was a good cover? I don't know if you ever watched the show, The Young Pope.
I did start watching that. That dude was quite the character.
Because they had a very, very excellent cover of Watchtower in the opening credits.
Also in the reimage Battlestar Galactica.
Also, yes. That's actually where I first realized that that was that song.
Yeah.
I had always heard it. And I'm like, what? How does that sound familiar? And then click. Oh, that's that song. That's that song. So there you go. Right. It's a classic, folks. It's a classic. Just like us, eventually. So here we are again. You've been here before. You know who we are. So we'll get to it.
We will. What's your WTF for the week?
Well, I'm sure everyone has heard about the kerfluffle about the honorees for the Ruth Bader Ginsburg Award. There's a foundation called the Dwight D. Oppermann Foundation, which handles this award that was named after the late Supreme Court Justice. They set it up back in 2019. Ginsburg passed away the next year. And every year since then, they try to award 5 recipients originally intended for women who exemplify human qualities of empathy and humility. Quote, this year, however, they decided 4 of the 5 recipients would be men. That baffles me, but I guess they wanted to get ahead of someone accusing them of being exclusionary. This is the world we live in now. Whew. Anyway, 3 of those particular men are extremely questionable, to say the least. One is Elon Musk. You know who he is. We don't need to discuss it further. The second is Rupert Murdoch, that fantastic fellow who owns the incredibly unbiased and fair Fox News Network. And Michael R. Milken. And depending on your age, you might not be familiar with this name, but this guy got down in the 80s and stole a bunch of money that he went to prison for a couple of years. But he came out a better person, and now he's doing nice things for other people. People did not like this. Especially,
I just can't see RBG being down with those 3.
No. And what I read recently the other day about Elon Musk, someone described what he's been doing these past few years as watching in real time radicalization. That's what's happening with him because he's saying some of the most outrageous shit. And it falls right in line with what other paranoid white supremacists say. But he insists that he's not racist. And listening, friends, if you've happened to check out his quote interview with Don Lemon, that is pure hilarity. Just letting you know, if you have some time, dig into it, but you might not be able to stomach it for long. I'm just warning you. So Elon Musk obviously is questionable. Rupert Murdoch, questionable. Michael Milken, again, he was a big name back in the day, not so much now, at least in certain circles. His name doesn't make the big headlines anymore, but still, these are questionable choices. People got upset and said, why in the hell? So the doggone foundation has canceled the awards ceremony this year. Whether or not they're going to still award these folks is another question.
Right.
The other two recipients, in case anyone is curious,
That was my next question.
Martha Stewart and Sylvester Stallone.
All right.
So, the gala was supposed to be next month at the Library of Congress, but they're like, yeah, we're going to hold off on that because people are making a stink, and rightfully so. Like we're sick and tired of people like this getting attention. And you're trying to get us to believe that those guys are worthy of this. Stop playing in our damn faces. We're sick of this.
Musk has so disappointed me because the stuff that is going on with SpaceX is phenomenal. It's going to move, the world and technology ahead. And I love that. And I love the fast iterations. But God, Elon, shut up. Shut up. It shouldn't be surprising that he's racist since he's from South Africa, right? It
Not at
shouldn't
all.
be a shocker. But dude, shut up so that I can enjoy SpaceX stuff without feeling guilty about it. Because I like this, the rocketry and watching Starship get built and all that crap.
The only thing that he's smart about is picking the right people.
Oh yeah, Gwynne Shotwell. She's the president and CEO of SpaceX. She's the true MVP there. She's the real MVP.
He just fell into some money and said, let me see what I want to do with it.
But
The fact that he actually said, quote, woke virus.
yeah, no, I saw that and I was just like, Elon, shut up.
My God. Every time you turn around, it's either him or one of these other weirdos. And that's what they are. They're fucking weirdos. Those are the guys that you would not sit next to at the kicker at college. He'd be in the corner of the frat house with his little red Solo cup and his beer was warm and nobody would come talk to him, but everybody would be talking about him. He's that guy. So there it is. There it is. They tried to sell you the reputation of a great lady by honoring these chuckleheads in her name. I'm disgusted.
Yeah, because I don't think she would be down with that.
At all. At all. And I hate to think about, I hate that phrase, but I think she's spinning in her grave. Bless her heart. Woo-wee.
Yeah.
So there it
Like,
is.
there it is.
So what do you have?
All right. Well, today I am giving up my WTF. Going to do something slightly different since it is Musical March. And Kenyatta and I are going to blind react to a song that M suggested. I know that who her favorite artist is. It's an artist. She's named Kay Flay, which is short for her first and last names. M really, really likes her. I said, give me five songs. What are your top five? and I will randomly pick one. And I picked it somewhat based on time, just so it was one of the shorter songs. I have probably heard this song in all actuality, but I wasn't paying attention because when I've been around the kids, they've played their music and I tend to zone out when that happens. So for me, while I probably have heard it, I haven't heard it. So, and Kenyatta hasn't heard it either. So we're going to blind react. It is a roughly a little longer than 2 minutes, about 2 minutes and 11 second song. So we're going to just go ahead and play it just because it is slightly different. So yeah, here we go.
Woke up, everything was going right till it wasn't. Clumsy, spill my guts. Brain works just fine till it doesn't. What constitutes enough? Wanna get my mind straight buzzing. Life's like extra tough when you don't got time. Or my husband, mostly sober days, but I get real baked on occasion. Breakfast poker raised. I'll see your eggs, a side of bacon. Find me on my face. A load of fiction is what I'm taking. I mean, on a sleigh. Would you like me more? Draped in an apron, hollering on my shit. Down 10th Avenue, roll the bag, following the good times. How can you say no to that? Taking all my troubles, pack them in a soda can. Caring what some prick thinks, homie, I am over that. My mother says I'm gonna be great someday, but come to think of it, I would rather bide my time and waste away. Hibernate, wish I believed in God, it'd sure be nice to pray. Suddenly it's my fucking job to bullshit on the mic all day. And I'm no Kanye, Barry Bonds, only hits I am making, not ones on a bomb. But not for too long, rather be drunk with a mean and a life on the tip of my tongue. Further than gone, drop the baton, burning my bra in a pile of chiffon. Who do I love? Well, not anyone. Take my hot dog on a poppy seed bun. Frightened cause I got a lot of people kinda on me. And I'm talking like an asshole, walking like a zombie. See, I heard a bunch of jokes, but I couldn't find it funny. Now I'm hanging by a thread, I'm an untied bungee. Real sunny, well I'm kinda like the opposite of that. I'm always good, but it'd be nice to have the option to be bad.
Okay, there we go. And what are your thoughts?
I enjoy the young people angst. Don't get me wrong. I don't like that they have things to be angsty about. Nobody should. But I enjoy listening to when they can articulate it like this. I like that shit.
Yeah.
Who is this again?
Her name is Kay Flay.
K, like Kay.
Just the letter and then FLAY, like Bobby Flay.
Okay, I'm gonna ask my kid, does she know? Cause yeah, that was like the opening notes, and then it dropped. I was like, oh, this is gonna be good.
Yeah.
That was tell him that was it's top notch. I like
Yeah.
that.
She can definitely throw down some rhymes there.
Yeah, what do you think?
I liked it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's something that I would listen to like in a playlist, but
I mean, you have to be in a mood, like.
yeah, I mean, it's much better than what I was kind of thinking it could be based on the kiddos today.
It's better than Five Finger Death Punch last week.
Oh my, yes. I mean, that was a not difficult to do, so that was a low bar to have to step over, but
Okay, I had to look her up right quick. And I could, okay, don't take this the wrong way. I mean, I could, she's singing, she's rapping, which is a tricky thing to be able to do well in one song. But I also knew that she was white. It's not a bad thing whatsoever. It's just the ear. You can hear these things. But she got it down. These are the kinds of folks I appreciate when they dabble in rap and hip hop, when they get it just like this. Top notch.
I do know that she sings in other songs just from hearing it in the background. But I found the line of mostly sober days, but I get real baked on occasion.
I like that.
Breakfast poker raised, but
she's breakfast, real
I'll
baked.
See your eggs, a side of bacon.
Like wake and bake.
Yeah. I like that.
I'm not mad at her. I'm not.
But yeah, no, I could see where M enjoys this song, why she likes it. It had a nice beat, and I kind of like that piano playing at the end too.
What they used to say back in the day, it's got a nice beat and you can dance to it.
Yeah.
It's got a nice beat and you can wild out to it. Because some days I have those days where I can't do nothing but just get up and shake it loose. I'm not quoting that girl. Do not say her name. But yes.
Right. Okay. You should text your kiddo and be like, "Do you know who Kayflay is?"
I actually am. She's actually down for a couple of days, so, and she's out with a friend. So I'm gonna ask her. I'm like, do you know her? Well, you should. She's good.
Yeah.
That's but right up your alley.
Yeah,
I dig that.
That was a cool blind react.
Nice. Okay. So, listening friends, we told you this is our last episode for Musical March. So naturally, we have something music involved for this episode. I don't know if you caught that. So today, though, last week it was covers. This week, it's about the songs that aren't quite what you thought they were about. And I guarantee you, some of these songs were some that we were singing back in the day, and we had no freaking idea. And there were some that we heard as adults, and we knew exactly what they meant, and we liked them anyway, but we got a hoot out of watching people misinterpret them all the time. So, that's what we're getting into today.
That we are. What do you have in store for us?
Me. I have a handful of songs roughly divided into different themes. Nothing elaborate, just the way I felt about them when I was doing my research and the first thought that came to mind about why they're inappropriate. Because, hey, it bees like that. So, my first song. I'm going to play it. What I'll do is I'll play it. I won't say who. Some you might guess, some you might not. I won't say who, but we shall discuss after I play the clip. So, this is my first song. You think you got it? Oh, you think you got it? But got it, just don't get it, till there's nothing at all. We get together, oh, we get together. But separate songs are better when there's feelings involved. And if y'all didn't guess, God help you if you did.
Yeah.
That was, it's credited to Outkast, but technically it's Andre 3000's song because this is from their 2003 double/split album, Speaker Box, The Love Below. And this was from Andre's part, or his album, The Love Below. It's called Hey Ya. It's chipper. You can dance to it. And indeed, in the video, there's like four different versions of him dancing and playing instruments. But it's a song about a relationship gone bad.
Yeah.
These are the kinds of songs that you would play, let's say, at a wedding, because you want upbeat, danceable things. And I'm sure it has been played at weddings, because this is the one that comes on maybe after an hour or so into the reception and people are right on the borderline of tipsy and butt drunk. So they get up and dance and they're like shaking their salt shakers and shake it like a Polaroid picture. I know that was going on. This is not the song that you want at your wedding reception. It is a song about people who know they need to break up and they won't do it.
I mean, because we're not happy here.
Hello? I mean, he said it out loud and then he said, y'all don't want to hear me. Y'all just want to dance. He said it in the song. I know y'all aren't paying attention. It's wild. Matter of fact, and this is just by coincidence, Instagram earlier today, I saw a video of a young lady who did a cover of this, a slowed down a cappella version. She's a good singer. And there are people in the comments saying, the lyrics are really deep when you listen to them. I was like, y'all must be young.
Like, no shit.
That wasn't an insult. Y'all really don't know. This is not a happy song.
No.
Like, legit. Speaking of inspiration, it's just vaguely related. Outkast wrote their song, Miss Jackson, in reference to Andre's bad ending to his relationship with Erykah Badu. So go
Right.
figure. Go figure. But that's my first song. That's not the one you want at weddings. You don't want a song about breaking up at a wedding.
No, you probably don't.
But
That's
before
not
you
going to
get,
stop people.
it will not. I'm sure somebody's still playing this. They'll be playing it this weekend. Somebody's wedding this weekend, they're gonna be playing it. They're gonna be playing it. So, oh, before I go any further, and this is completely unrelated, but it is a fun fact. Today, March 21st, marks 4 years since a fella by the name of D-Nice. Used to be a rapper, and he actually had a song that was called They Call Me D-Nice. I don't know if you've ever heard it. He was with a group. They did maybe one or two albums. They weren't huge, huge, but that's kind of one of those, not a one-hit wonder, but it's one of those ones you heard all the time. So that was the song, D-Nice. His name is actually Derrick Jones. He kind of fizzled out on rap, but he, in years since, he picked up some other skills, one, being a very good DJ, two, a photographer. He's very good at both. But 4 years ago is when a lot of us ended up quarantined, and a lot of us were very anxious about things that were happening. So he got on Instagram one night, Instagram Live, and did a 2-hour DJ set.
Sweet.
Thousands of people dropped in, and he would do them at least like once a week until the end of 2020 into 21. It became a thing. He ended up naming it Club Quarantine. And today
Nice.
marks 4 years since he started that.
I know of several artists that also did that, which I thought was really cool.
It is. It was. It was. Because it was, like I said, a lot of people, I can say for myself, that was an anxious time because we didn't know what was happening. We didn't want to go outside. We didn't want to go get the mail.
There was I can't remember the guy's name who he was for. He was the bass player for a band from the 70s. And so when we were on quarantine, he was like, I'm going to teach people how to play the bass tracks from these songs from the band that he was in. And he kept getting blocked by the record companies, and he went off one time and he's like, wrote the song. Anyway, lots of people did that. And that's cool. I didn't realize that D-Nice was doing that. Unfortunately, Key and Peele ruined it for me. So every time you were saying D-Nice, I was just thinking of Mr. Garvey. Is there a D-Nice?
Denise, D Denise, Denise.
Sorry.
Yeah,
Anyway,
I had to get that shout out. So,
moving on.
yes, my next song is one that before you get to the wedding, you have to actually get somebody there to the altar with you. This is not the song that you want to put on a mixtape to them. Never mind that voice in the background. My Alexa thought I was speaking to her. She so knows. But this is the song that you do not want to dedicate to anyone. No.
Yeah, can you say narcissist? Narcissist stalker?
That full verse, when I played was the back half of the first verse. The rest of the verse, the beginning goes, you were working as a waitress in a cocktail bar when I met you. I picked you out, I shook you up, and turned you around, turned you into something new. The fuck?
Yeah.
He said... Yeah. You better change it back or we will both be sorry. No, that doesn't sound good at all.
Yeah.
You don't sound healthy when you say that to somebody.
No, he is definitely a narcissist stalker that can't take someone not being into him.
That song was by a group called the Human League in 1981. And if you didn't catch it, it's called Don't You Want Me. And by the title, you would think, you know, something seductive. This is not that.
No.
In any way whatsoever. So.
Yeah, at least she had a good comeback in the song.
She did. She did. You know what? Let me look at this. Yes, she says, I was working as a waitress in a cocktail bar. That much is true. But even then, I knew I'd find a much better place, either with or without you. Middle finger. I love it.
Yep.
But the fact that that motherfucker said, we'll both be sorry. Mm-mm. I'm moving. I'm changing my number. No.
Yeah.
No, son. You're not. We don't play them games here.
Yeah.
My next song is one of those ones. It's not what you think it's about. You might think it. You might. But it's one of those kinds of songs that's clever because it could be saying one thing or could be saying another. And it's well done. So. Here we go.
Oh, sugar, when you're close to me, you love me right down to my knees. And whenever you let me hit it, sweet like honey when it comes to me. Skin is caramel with the cocoa eyes. Even got a big sister by the name of Chocolate Top. Brown sugar, babe. I guess high off of love, don't know how to behave.
That was D'Angelo and his 1995 hit Brown Sugar off his debut album of the same name. He's one of the singers that, along with Badu and Maxwell and Jill Scott, are what they call the first artists into the neo-soul subgenre of R&B. So yeah, that was the song he came out with first. And, you know, I can speak confidently here when I say we ladies like that song, and I'm sure some gentlemen did as well. But what do you think he's talking about?
I'm it sounded kind of like maybe doing the deed. Perhaps.
Interesting. But no, I'll give you a hint. What was Rick James talking about on Mary Jane?
Okay.
He's talking about that. It is a song about weed, people. He's talking about weed. It came out, everybody thought was, oh, this is a nice love song. He's talking about a woman.
Oh. I mean, it was a love song to weed.
What I play was the second verse and then part of the chorus. But the first verse goes like, let me tell you about this girl. Maybe I shouldn't. I met her in Philly and her name was Brown Sugar. So we be making love constantly. That's why my eyes are a shade blood burgundy. The way that we kiss is unlike any other way that I be kissing when I'm kissing, when I'm missing. Won't you listen? And it sounds like he could be talking about either a woman or a blunt.
Yeah. No, you're right.
With equal passion. And
yeah.
From what I understand, his inspiration was Rick James, Mary Jane.
I wonder what his feelings are on couches.
You know, I never asked. He's actually from Richmond, too. So, yeah, Richmond, Virginia. So there it is.
Awesome.
Mr. G'Angelo. So there's my first three. What do you've got?
Well, my first category, I have two of songs that should not be played at weddings. Mm-hmm. And I have actually heard both of these songs played at weddings. And Heather has actually went to a wedding of her cousin without me. And this was the second one was also played. So she's heard it more than once at a wedding. But this first one I'm going to go is by a little band called REM. And after I play it, you'll know why people think that it's a different song than it is.
This one goes out to the one I love. This one goes out to the one I've left behind. A simple cry to occupy my time. This one goes out to the one I love.
So I see why people get that viewpoint, because this one goes out to the one I love, but they seem to miss the very next line that says, a simple prop to occupy my time.
I call those type seat fillers. You know what a seat filler is?
So that's the people when the person gets up at a award ceremony and they come and sit in the seat.
That's what I call those type of people. I need a seat filler. That's what that is.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that line basically gets repeated quite a bit, but then the very last line is also one where people don't ever seem to pay attention to. Because then it goes, this one goes out to the one I love. This one goes out to the one I've left behind. Another prop has occupied my time.
Who's
this one
that?
Goes out to the one I love.
Wow.
Once again, that is a song from a narcissist.
Okay, Michael.
Michael Stipe, though, he is an incredible song writer.
Oh, yeah.
And lyricist.
Yeah.
But I heard that at a wedding and I was like,
did you not listen to that first?
Like,
this is
if
not
this is like ever. Y'all's song, one of y'all is in trouble, because that somebody, is not a love song.
Somebody's in trouble. Trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. Now this next one, when Heather went to that wedding, it was in Georgia, and it was, I could say there was actual moonshine there.
Well,
not the, not the moonshine that they sell in stores now. This was actually moonshine made somewhere mm-hmm. in the woods in Georgia by guys mm-hmm. in overalls.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But ironically enough, this guy is getting played 2 weeks in a row. So here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, little sister, what have you done? Sister, who's the only one? Hey, little sister, who's your Superman? Hey, little sister, who's the one you want? Hey, little sister, shotgun. It's a nice day to start again. It's a nice day for a white wedding. It's a nice day to start again.
Once again, because it says it's a nice day for a white wedding, people are thinking, oh, but it's actually, there are sort of two ways to take it. One, it's his ex, and he's like, you know, you don't like him, you still want me. The other way is, he's the side piece, and she's getting married, and he's like, you know, that dude doesn't satisfy you. That's why I'm the side piece. So it all depends on how you look at it, but it is not a walk down the aisle wedding song at all.
Like, never. It never, even though in the video somebody is wearing a wedding dress, but
yeah.
It's but, another reason I absolutely adored some 80s Billy Idol.
Woo-hoo. Right? But yeah, and once again, when I was at the wedding, I was like, that's not really wedding songs. At Heather's cousin's wedding, she was like, oh, no, that's not. Oh, I can't. And then she was like, oh, well, no, actually, I can believe it. But
oof.
How about you? Have you ever heard that song at a wedding? Either of them?
No. The kind of weddings I've been to wouldn't play that.
But perhaps D'Angelo.
No, it would be a line dance song of some sort, probably Electric Slide, probably Cameo, Candy. Tastes like candy.
Right.
I can, that one. Yeah, things like that that you can line dance to. It would be a lot of R&B and soul classics and things like that. So that's what I remember. Not a lot of metal rockers from the 80s, no.
Right. No artist that could curl one side of their lip up at a 45 degree angle.
That made him absolutely charming. I have no idea what the problem is here.
Hey, you know what? I'm not judging. I am not judging at all, because it works for Billy Idol.
It does. I mean, it still does. So there he is. A delightful man. Delightful. So on my list, I have next something that's mildly stalkerish. Mildly. Ooh. And it's interesting you could ever put a qualifier on stalkers, but I've been thinking about this for years, and somebody might find it controversial, but it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard, but still, it's just a little bit. You'll find out. So here we go.
Every night on my knees I pray, dear Lord, hear my plea. Don't ever let another take a love from me, or I will surely die.
So yeah, but what I am going to do before I go any further or say anything else is actually play my next clip right behind this, which is majorly stalkish. And you'll probably know what it is, but then we'll discuss. The first song was the iconic Temptations with their 1971 hit Just My Imagination, Running Away With Me. Again, beautiful song. I mean, anybody who's familiar with their work knows this is one of the best ballads they ever did. One of the best ballads, period, out of R&B. But he's literally watching a woman that he can never have. And in that little clip, that's like the bridge of the song, like two-thirds of the way through the song. The first line you hear in the bridge is one of the members, and this was one of the last songs that had all five original members. That first line of the bridge is sung by Paul Williams, who unfortunately took his own life pretty early on. And then the rest of the bridge, and a matter of fact, the rest of the song on lead is Eddie Kendrick. And something about the way he sings it so sweet, it makes you forget that he is talking about a woman that he's longing after who doesn't even know he exists.
Right.
Mildly stalkerish. I hate to say it. This is the classic song. I hate to say it. I love the temps, but it's
Right.
true. It's true. Each day through my window, I watch her as she passes by. I think to myself, you're such a lucky guy. That's the opening two lines of the song.
Right.
She doesn't know who he is. I'm like, ooh, dog, you watching her through the window. It's not cool. It's not cool. That's mildly stalkerish. Mostly stalkerish is Every Breath You Take by The Police
Yes.
from 1983. And everyone knows that song. Everyone thinks that's a love song. No.
Yeah, also played at weddings.
Also played at weddings, yes. And it didn't really take too long for me to figure out this is not healthy. And really, from what I understand, Sting wrote it. And he said he wasn't even talking about a relationship. He was talking about government surveillance. So it could be either or. It's still unhealthy.
Yeah, the second one, it fits in perfectly on
Yes.
that. Yeah,
Yes.
wow.
Somebody's watching you and you're like, oh, wait a minute. I didn't ask for any of this.
Yeah, no kidding.
Any of it. So, okay. My next one is another, well, it's completely not what you think it's about at all. It's completely metaphorical song, but it works because it was one of the top hits of the 80s. And to this day, I bump it on occasion in the car. So, here we go.
Could have a big dipper going up and down all around the bends. You could have a bumper car bumping. This amusement never ends. I wanna be the sledgehammer.
So, yeah, that was Peter Gabriel's 1986 mammoth hit Sledgehammer. What do you think it's about, really?
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I've honestly never contemplated
You
it
never thought about it?
and never really thought about it. I just always liked the song and liked the video. And honestly, I've never really thought about it because it does have some funky lyrics to it.
I think a lot of it, what distracted people was the video, because that was like an innovative video for the time. It was all stop motion.
Yeah.
And I think I read it was done by the same people who do the Wallace and Gromit movies
Oh,
with the
wow.
claymation. Yeah, same folk.
Interesting. All
But
right. So tell me, what's it about?
sex.
Well, I
Everything
mean,
in there is a metaphor for
for,
sex.
right?
Listen, this is the first. This is the first two
I mean,
lyrics.
yeah, that makes
You can have a steam train if you just lay down your
no
tracks.
tracks.
You can have an aeroplane flying if you bring your blue sky back. All you do is call
Tell
me.
me.
I'll be anything you need. Woo!
I mean, you could have a Big Dipper going up and down all around the bends. You could have a bumper car bumping. This amusement never ends.
I love it though. It's so clever. Like the way the music is arranged and the way he sings it, because he had
Yeah.
a very distinctive voice. It throws you off. You think he's just talking about some random. No, every bit of this. He's like,
Yeah.
call me. I will hook you up. Dang, Peter Gabriel, what?
Yeah, but he also has one of the great love songs of all times, Within
All
Your Eyes.
time. All time.
Now that's a song that should be played at weddings.
What I'm going to play next, though, and this is a pull from last week's episode. While I was looking up or pulling up this song, I stumbled across YouTube, autoplayed the next thing, and I was shocked. I have to share it here, so I will. Hold on to your hat.
You can have a big dipper going up and down and around the bends. You can have a bumper car bumping. The amusement never ends. I wanna be a sledgehammer.
Two things are for sure. A, that is not Dwight Yoakam.
God, no.
B, that is not Five Finger Death Punch.
Thank God for both. I was shocked to find out who it was. I actually like this singer. I'm surprised I like him. It's Harry Styles.
Oh, yeah. I didn't recognize the voice at all, so.
Like I said, as soon as I said, YouTube autoplayed, and then I saw it, he actually did this for an episode of the Howard Stern Show 4 years ago.
Ah.
And he performed it live on set, and apparently it was the first time him and the band had performed it live. And the way that drummer drops the beat, but when I heard him sing, because I was skeptical, I'm like, I don't care if they are both British. It doesn't mean he gonna get it. He got it.
Yeah.
I'll give him his props. He got it.
Yeah, no, it was a good cover.
It really was. So I had to throw it in there. So what else do you have?
All right. This next one is somebody who I actually saw live a few year and a half back. One of their other songs is one of my favorite songs.
Don't you love the life you kill? The priest is on the throne. Your father hit the wall. Your mom disowned you. Don't suppose I'll ever know. So me to be a man, or something I can change. I live around here. I wanna wake up where you are. I won't say anything at all. So why don't you smile?
But a lot of people, once again, kind of think that it's, you know, kind of a love song or a, oh, hey, I like you, hop in my bed and we can do it. But that is not what this song is about. It is about teen pregnancy.
Mm-hmm. You bet.
And that's the, you know, the priest is on the phone. Your father hit the wall. Your ma disowned you. And that song is about teen pregnancy, abortion. And basically the end of the song is him saying, hey, do you want to just avoid all this stuff and run away and get married and just do the thing?
Do the things.
Let me play this next part that's that.
You can do anything you ever dreamed to be complete. Yes, I have nothing that falls. You can do anything you ever dreamed to be complete.
But yeah, that's at the end where he's like, hey, just come here with me and we'll just start our thing and live our life. But I can see why people think it is like a typical love song because of the line is, you know, and what you are is beautiful, you know, part of the song that's on there. So
he's like, let's the three of us run away together. Three. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. The whole tone of the song does not give you that. That's something that serious.
Yeah. I mean, if put your arms around me. What you feel is what you are, and what you are is beautiful. And then it's May, because the character that he's singing to is named May. And then it's, do you want to get married or run away? And, you know, there aren't a whole lot of songs that are about teen pregnancy and slash abortion, you know, and especially, running away from home because your parents are going apeshit.
Especially not sung like that.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Oof. I don't know.
Yeah, Johnny Resnick's also a really good lyricist.
Oh, yeah, I like his voice. I like his voice. That's what I'm saying. The right voice can make you forget what you're actually listening to.
Yeah, yeah. And having seen Goo Goo Dolls live, that's exactly what his voice sounds live.
Mm, okay.
There's nothing, you know, sometimes you're like, wow, they sound slightly different on the album. That is not the case with him. He sounds exactly that way when he sings the song live, which is really cool.
It is.
But, yeah, that one probably means a little more to me since my bride is a teen mom. Mm. Maybe that's why it hits me a little different.
Yeah, understood.
But I totally get that song at a at my core level.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Mm. Mm. But
now, I'm going to move on to my next song. I'm actually going to play a little more of this song than other ones. But I edited it so that I kind of got rid of a lot of the more of the musical interludes, since this is about the lyrics of the song. So I am going to actually play quite a bit of this song, just because I want to get your reaction to it, Kenyatta. And there's a lot of, you'll figure it out kind of as it goes. I'll sort of read the lyrics afterwards. And plus, it's just a kick-ass song with an amazing beat. So here we go.
Every promise empty, pointing every finger at me, waiting like a stalking butler, who upon the finger rests. Murder now, the battle must wait, just because the sun has come. Jesus wants to try to whistle something when the path is done. Jesus wants to try to whistle something.
I freaking love the bass in this song. An imbecile, I will only complicate you.
Trust in me and fall as well. I will find a center in you. I will chew it up and leave. Trust me, trust me, trust me, trust me, trust me.
Why can we not be so close?
I did that last part because I've never heard somebody singing I Want What I Want so emotionally, like, deep. The way he's saying that I want what I want, I want what I want. But if you figured out where people get this song wrong.
Absolutely. He doesn't want to be sober.
Yeah, and a lot of people
he wants to self-destruct and he wants to take you with him.
Yeah. And it is amazing to me that people miss that part. And I'm like, no, that song is the exact opposite of what you think it is. He is sober and he doesn't want to be.
He's like, I need something. Like, I don't want to feel like this. And I hear that a lot about, like, long-term addicts that when they, for whatever reason, if they're going through rehab or they're going cold turkey, which is not advised generally.
Right.
But when they get all of whatever's in their system out, they do not feel normal.
Yeah.
Which is bizarre because they've operated so long under the influence. That's what's normal to them. So like in his case, he's like, I'm sober. I don't like it.
Yeah. I prefer not sober me.
And I need company in my misery. So come on. Come on.
Yeah, and that's why I went longer on this song, though, because you kind of needed to hear all of the lyrics to kind of pick up on, you know, a lot of what was going on in there. But
oh, no, I got it.
I just meant in general. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it's haunting. I mean, he sings it like he's genuinely haunted. Like you believe that he believes what he's saying. Like it's on me. It's on my back. It's a monkey on my back. I can't get rid of it. It doesn't matter. I don't want to now, but I won't be alone. It's dark.
Yeah. I dig it. Yeah. It is very dark. But I mean, just the lines, you know, I am just a worthless liar. I am just an imbecile. I will only complicate you. Trust in me and fall as well. I will find a center in you. I will chew it up and leave. I will work to elevate you just enough to bring you down.
I mean, I don't know what more of a ringing endorsement for his companionship he could give.
Right?
Okay. Woo.
Maynard James Keenan he's an interesting dude. He was in the Army, actually did his basic training at Fort Sill, Oklahoma. But when he was in high school, he was a wrestler and a runner of, you know, cross country and track. And he was never a cigarette smoker. And like, even today he has a big, he makes his own wine in Arizona, and then he started making pizza. So he opened up a pizza truck.
Interesting.
And he's also the lead singer of two other bands.
Huh.
He's the lead singer of Tool, but Tool likes to take a lot of time in between albums. So he went and started a second band called A Perfect Circle.
Okay.
But he still had too much spare time, so he started a third band called Pucifer.
All righty.
Yeah, That think about what that would be a combination of. But
I'm not grown enough to think about that.
Yeah, but they're known because all of their vehicles are quite wild. They're stop motion animation as well. And if you go and watch the video for Sober, it's interesting. But if you go and check out the version of this that's live at Woodstock 2, it's incredible because the way he sings part of that song, he's completely stretched out in a way that he shouldn't be able to get the air and do the deep intake. I would recommend watching it if you can.
Okay.
Just to see somebody, because you'll watch like people that are musical, whatever, and they're like, he shouldn't be able to do that.
Oh, I've seen I've seen some stuff that's absolutely mind-boggling. I'm like, oh my gosh, they have iron lungs.
Yeah. I think in his case, some of it has to do with being an athlete that required a lot of lung endurance.
That'll do it.
But anyway, that's what I got, are those songs.
So, and they were good selections. I dig it. So I feel like after that, not that it's not a good song, we need a palate cleanser, though.
It is a dark song. That's why I ended with it.
This little bonus thing is something I found on accident, and I was so intrigued I had to share it. I had no idea that it was a story. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to play two bits back to back, so you hear some dead air between.
Okay.
The first bit is the inspiration for the second bit, and you'll recognize the second bit. So that's what we'll do. Here we go.
I was born with this unlucky sneeze, and what is worse, I came into the world the wrong way round. Pundits all agree that I'm the reason why my father fell into the village pond and drowned. I was born under a bad sign. Oh, love, Trinidad said it was a bad sign. Hindus and Chinese, Africans and Portuguese, everybody worry about my sneeze. Achoo!
So you know what that is.
Yeah.
So this song just before is the inspiration, I guess, or the original melody and harmony for the James Bond theme. And it was written back in 1962 by Monty Norman. He just died 2 years ago at the age of 94.
Oh, wow.
But the first song, its inspiration is called Good Sign, Bad Sign, that he wrote probably in the early 60s as well, for a musical that never happened called A House for Mr. Biswas. I have no idea. I believe it was a book or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the musical never happened, so he didn't ever actually make the song. He just had it written out, and he had the melody and all that put together. So when he was recruited to write the theme song, he pulled this song out and said, let me see what I can do. So naturally, he dumped the words, change the arrangement up, sped it up a little bit, and what you have now is the iconic original James Bond theme.
That is cool.
It is very cool. I was like, I had no idea, because the original song is just, it's funny and corny.
Yeah.
And he only recorded this in 2005. It never got recorded until then. It was music on a sheet. So he actually recorded it and made an album in 2005. Because he did a lot of other, a lot of other scoring and music for quite a few early James Bond movies.
Wow, that kind of reminds me of, you know, the actor that played Ducky on NCIS, who just recently passed away.
Yes,
I only found this out when he died, but he put out a song in the 1960s that is one of the most sampled songs in rap.
Yes. Yes, I read that.
like it's been in like over 100 songs.
Now that
Ducky from NCIS.
now that we're talking about it, I have to find it.
Yeah,
I will find it, because like, I read that when because my mom used to watch NCIS, and she told me that he had passed away. I was like, oh, I said the guy with the bow tie. She said yes.
Yeah, he was also one. Oh, a spy TV show back in the 60s as well.
The man,
and he was quite the heartthrob.
Yeah, he's good looking. He was good looking. Yeah, The Man from U.N.C.L.E. is what he was in.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Let me see, because I remember reading it and I can't remember what the song.
Yeah, I don't remember any of that. I don't remember the exact total times it's been sampled. And I could be wrong, but I do know that it is a bunch and one of the most sampled.
Yeah, because I see here one person that sampled it, and I know the song that it was sampled on. Okay. All right. So one of the songs that it was sampled on was Dr. Dre's The Next Episode. And I remember that song vividly. Oh, here we go. So we're going to get an extra bonus, an extra, extra bonus. Yeah, you'll recognize it immediately. Not mad at that at all.
I mean, I understand why it's been sampled as many times as it has been.
And Dr. Dre's song takes that very opening literally just as it is for the opening of his song. So yeah, it's instantly recognizable. So
Yeah.
I was sick to hear about that. I said, excuse me, what? Sampled who? What?
Yeah. Who knew all those years I was watching NCIS that I was actually watching a rap and hip hop icon?
I mean, you'd be surprised where hip hop artists get their samples from. You would be shocked. It's wild because I found some of that out when I was
Yeah.
researching for our hip hop thing last year. I was like, what now? Yeah, it's
Yeah,
wild.
that's really cool though.
It is. Listening friends, we have come to the end
That
of
we
this
have.
episode and the end of our musical march. We are sad. But
That's
of
right.
course, we always have other things on the books. We'll be back
That's
though.
right. Next month is Airplane April, and we're each going to discuss our favorite aircraft.
Our favorite aircraft or favorite airplane crashes in movies?
I mean, or
It
it's going to have nothing to do with aircraft whatsoever.
could be anything. Because you know that we are the Potpourri podcast. That's what we do. That's
That
what
is
we do.
true. We are the
So,
Everything Bagel of podcast.
everything bagel. There it is. And so, let's roll out.
That's right. You know what goes well with an everything bagel? A cup of coffee. And if you could buy us a cup of coffee, we would really appreciate it. Go to buymeacoffee.com/hyperfocuspods, and we'll catch you on the next one. Bye.
And now, folks, it's time to say goodnight. We sincerely appreciate your patronage and hope we've succeeded in bringing you an enjoyable evening of entertainment. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon. Good night.